Hey, how are we doing? I need more than that. Welcome. It's good to hear you today. My name is Pastor Nate Keeler. I'm the lead pastor here at Brandywine. We want to welcome you. This is a very unique Sunday. Let me tell you, we're calling this Vision Sunday. We're doing some things we haven't done here before today. And if you're new here, maybe this is your first or second time, you're going to be a little thrown off here in the beginning, but track with us, follow us, so you'll see where we're going. You might be thrown off that you got a rock when you came in. And a few people said to me, hey, you better be careful what you say up there. Don't worry, it'll be good, okay? That's not the purpose of those rocks, just to clarify that. We are going to be celebrating. This is why it's a perfect Sunday. Whether you're new or you've been attending here all your life, this is a great Sunday because you're going to get to hear a little bit about our past, a little bit about our present, a little bit about our future, and get to know more about what is God doing among us, okay? And so that's really where we're going here today. If you brought your Bibles, please open them. Go to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, as I've been praying through the last couple of months, what we wanted to do here, what text God was calling us to, he kept taking me back to this text, and you'll see the reason why pretty soon, just to give a little context of this text in Joshua 4. Moses had passed away. The people of God, the Jewish people, were now moving, transitioning from past to present into the future. They were going from wandering in the desert to moving across the Jordan River into the promised land that God said he had given them to him and their descendants to be the place where the Messiah would come and bless the world, bless the nations through the message of salvation, through his death, his resurrection. And that's where it would be the launching point for engaging the world with the message of the gospel. So all of this is really linked into this moment here in crossing the Jordan River. It was an important part of their story, because in the same way that God parted the Red Sea under Moses' leadership, he now did the same thing to the Jordan River so that the people could cross over to begin to take the promised land that God had called them to. And it's here we pick up the story in Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of Jordan, right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." Now, why did he tell them to do that? Not to give them an extra burden of crossing the Jordan. Why? He gave them to them as a sign. Look at verse 6. "These will serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord." He continues, these stones are to be a what? A memorial, a promise, a place to remember the goodness of God, to remember the promise of God, to remember the power of God, to remember the purposes of God to that generation, but not just to their generation. Who? To the generation that was to come after, their children, their grandchildren. This was meant to be stones of faithfulness, of memorial to the great things God did. And it didn't even stop there. He continues and he says, these stones mark God's faithfulness. Verse 24, why did he do these good things? God did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. And in the same way that Joshua and the tribe set up the memorial stones of God's faithfulness and who he is and his power and his promises and his purpose to be a light and a witness and apologetic to the nations that would watch, so we believe that today what we want to do is really celebrate that. We want to look back, we want to look to the present, we want to look into the future and say, because of God's power in the past and our present, because of God's promises and his purpose in the past and the present, we can trust him. And we can trust them for greater things into our future. And so that you and your children and your grandchildren and this community might know who God is. Amen? That's really what we want to do today. We want to start and just take a few moments. This will be the briefest of each of these. Take a few moments to look at the rocks of faithfulness, the stone of faithfulness in the past. By the way, these came from my backyard. Just want you to know them. So don't go falling in love with them. They're coming back with me, okay? In the past, and we're not looking necessarily at 50 years in the past. We did that back in January 2020 to celebrate the 50 years of the history of the church. We're really just looking in the past 5 to 6 years. And we've seen many ways that God has been faithful. One of those is just in the leadership transition of this church and the changes to some of the culture that we brought here over the last 5 or 6 years. If you study leadership change or transition in government and politics or in business or in churches, you know that transitions of leadership are really hard, and most of them don't go well. They really don't, especially in a church where you have a beloved pastor who's ministered faithfully for 30 years, like Pastor Bo Matthew did here in our church for so many years. Yeah, amen. And he's here with us today. Especially when you have a church that's been, you know, what many would say, been a pretty successful church in accomplishing the things that they wanted to accomplish and being a testimony, a faithful testimony to the goodness of God. Those transitions are really hard. And by God's grace, and many of you who have been faithful with our leadership and the transitions, God has enabled us to transition and be able to do so with relative ease, comparatively. Continue the mission. Continue building on the past foundations. And you guys have put up with a lot of change. I won't even begin to recount all the change that this church has gone through over the last 5+ years. Changes in leadership and styles and a lot of different kinds of ministries. God has continued to be faithful to us through those changes. He was faithful in helping us to refocus our vision and continue that vision that God has given this church, to make disciples. Really, our vision is the Great Commission. Our vision is to introduce people to Jesus Christ, to fall in love with who Jesus is, have a personal saving relationship with Jesus. That's our goal. We want to proclaim the gospel message in every Sunday, in every way that we can, so that you come into a saving relationship with Jesus. And then we want to help you follow him. Not only know Christ, but grow in Christ. Grow deeper roots of faith and be transformed from the inside out. Do that in community with other people. And not just know him and grow in him, but then go with him. So he hasn't saved you just to sort of sit and soak. He hasn't saved you to just kind of eat at a buffet all day spiritually. But rather, he has saved you to send you. This is why we have these banners on the side of this room that say, know, grow, go. It's a mobile faith, and so God has called us to a renewed passion, a renewed vision, and a renewed strategy to do that. Over the last 5 years, we developed our core values, and I'm just going to hit these briefly. Our core values are sort of our primary way that we make decisions. It helps us determine the why behind the what that we do. And so these core values really provide that foundation for our church. Core values like being Bible-centered, graciously orthodox. We stand firm where God stands firm. We leave room and humility and grace in the areas where it's not as clear. And I think in a lot of ways that has helped us over the last 15 months to be able to stay unified, making the main thing the main thing. Core values like meaningful membership and community, that you're not a spiritual Rambo out there, but you're called to be in community. Christianity is a team sport, and we want you to partner with other people. A unity and diversity, knowing that we're not all the same here. We come from different backgrounds. We have different faith profiles. We have different age profiles, racial profiles, cultural, socioeconomic profiles here. And what unites us is not the things that necessarily unite the world, but what unites us is the saving message of the gospel, our identity in Christ. Core values like the pursuit of excellence, relevance, and innovation. We want to do things with excellence because God deserves our excellence. People deserve us to not be phoning it in on Sundays and just saying, oh, okay, that's good, that's fine. You know, let's just kind of chill and relax. No, but we want to press on because God deserves that. And because we want to be relevant, we want to be able to make changes and be nimble. We don't want to become, you know, the Pentagon, right? We want to become a SEAL team. We want to be able to move quickly and not have a lot of bureaucracy where we can shift and make movements and change based on where our culture is so that we can be effective. God's word doesn't change, but the forms and the functions, the way in which we administer the gospel and the word of God does change, and we want to be nimble to do that. We believe in thriving families. We believe in investing in the family, investing in marriages, investing in children and teenagers. We believe marriage is essential, which is why we started Reengage. And in fact, you can sign up for Reengage for the fall. It's a great place to work on your marriage, to make your marriage a better marriage, one that's more a godly marriage where you're loving one another and setting that model for your family and for your neighbors and your friend and your church community. It's why we've doubled down and invested in children's ministry with more staff and more resources and our student ministry as well, because we believe in the centrality of the family in our culture. And so we believe in thriving families. We believe in authenticity and restoration. This is not, we're not playing a game here, you know that? This isn't just some church game. You come and you put on the face, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, happy, happy, joy, joy, life is fine. No, you're allowed to come in here and not have it all together. In fact, it's a requirement. Do you know that? It's a requirement when you come in the doors, you can't have it all together and be here, just so you know. We believe that it's okay not to be okay, and we want to help you not to stay that way. And our ministry, many ministries set up to do just that. We believe in discipleship, being discipleship driven, that the, under the hood of the car that is Brandywine, the engine is discipleship. It's why we do the things that we do here. And we believe in gospel partnerships in our city and our world. Brandywine can't accomplish this mission and vision by ourselves. We need churches partnering together arm in arm to accomplish that. It's why we created One for Wilmington Partnership with urban and suburban churches to be able to show the love of Christ in very practical ways, to share that message with people who need to hear it. These are our core values. God has been faithful in helping us to live out these values that we aspire to a greater and greater extent. He's also been faithful in our past financially in this church. You know, many of you have been only a part of this church for the last few years, some of you just since COVID, and so you might not know this, but our church has had in the past some significant financial struggles. We've gone through some very lean years. We've had years of significant burden of debt that was on this church. And several years ago, our leadership team came together and we said, you know, we really believe God's calling us to a greater stewardship financially. We believe that God's calling us to steward our money well, to make sure that we're educating our congregation in how to be good stewards, to make sure that we're aggressive with debt reduction. We believe that God wanted us to free ourselves, as Scripture says, like a gazelle from debt, so that we can then use those funds not to be paying off a mortgage and interest. Who wants to do that? But rather to be blessing our community, to be able to share the love of Christ and accomplish our mission. Back in 2019, in April of 2019, we had $3.9 million of debt on our building. And we had an opportunity to begin aggressively paying down that debt. And we started a matching program. And in that matching program, we called the church to prayerfully engage in sacrificial, generous giving above and beyond their normal gifts. And then just sort of see what would God do. At the end of November, from April to November of 2019, we went from $3.8 million all the way down to $1.5 million in our debt in just a matter of months. And then it was like a weight loss program at that point. You start getting going on it, and it just starts falling off. And that's exactly what happened. By the time we got to August of 2020, we were down below the million mark. We were at 866,000. That is about $3 million in a matter of months. Praise God. Is that not amazing of what he did? God has been so faithful in our past. He continues to be faithful in our present. You know, in January of 2020, not knowing the kind of year we were going to have, we asked the question, and I did this in a sermon celebrating our 50th anniversary, but looking forward to the next 50 years, I asked the question, what would it look like for God to be faithful to this church over the next 50 years? And where we landed is to say, God will be faithful if we focus on the supremacy of Jesus Christ and his gospel in all things. In all things. That's what's going to take us through the highs and lows of financial crisis and cultural changes and changes in leadership and unexpected challenges. And whatever might come our way, it'll be that that keeps us together. And I'll tell you, I'm not a prophet. I think God had that set up for us because he knew what was about to come. And I believe it's because we stayed focused on the supremacy of Christ that we were able to navigate the challenges of COVID that it brought to our world and to our church, utterly changing the way that we thought about ministry and having to move on a dime to make those changes. The cultural and political issues that we went through as a nation, the division, we navigated that with relative ease. And that is not because we had it all together. Believe me, our leadership team has talked about the mistakes that we've made, and we've made mistakes. One day, maybe 20 years from now, I'll teach some lessons on what not to do during a pandemic to the next generation. But God has been faithful. And I think that's because we stayed focused on him and just kept preaching the word and focused on the main thing, making the main thing the main thing. I just also want to take a moment to recognize God's faithfulness over this time of the pandemic. And I want you to recognize our staff and our volunteers who served so faithfully during that period of time, many of them having no idea about how to do technology and how to make the kind of changes that we needed. Didn't know our children's ministry completely pivoting online, making videos in front of like a green screen and getting them out, doing home visits and sending, you know, putting resources at the doorsteps of children's homes. And our teen ministry switching to Zoom and all the small group leaders who were able to stay in touch with all the students at a time they really needed it. All the ministries that we had that shifted, our lay shepherding ministry that we started to reach people that couldn't come back to church yet, the Stephen ministry, and the list goes on and on. It was because staff and volunteers who had a passion to serve the Lord stepped up, were really ready to rethink everything, willing to give their time and their treasures and their energy to be able to serve the work for the work of the Lord and continue the ministry of the gospel. And so can you just recognize and thank that great staff, those volunteers? Amen. Amen. Now, if you would have said in April of 2020 that the next 15 months would have been our most generous 15 months of the life of this church, I would have said no way. Not possible, not going to happen. That's exactly what God did. I don't know how, but he did it. Over the last 15 months, we ended the year in 2020, not just a little bit in the black, but like hundreds of thousands of dollars in the black. And we are doing the same thing here in the end of August of our fiscal year 2021. We are well over providing financially resources to be able to aggressively go after ministry, ministry to our community, ministry to families, ministry to children. And it's amazing what God is doing. Not only did we end the year in the black, but God did something also amazing that I didn't think he would do. There was a few people who thought, and you know who you are, thought God would do this, but I didn't think it was going to be possible during the pandemic, but little faith I had. God did. When we got to the end of April of 2021, we got to April just weeks before we were supposed to have this Sunday, this meeting, our congregational vote in May. Just weeks before that, God moved in the heart of an individual to be able to give generously towards our debt reduction. At that point, we had a little under $500,000 of debt remaining, and this individual felt called to pay off the rest of that debt. And they wrote out a check for the rest of the debt, and it was gone. That day, that moment, this church is debt-free. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. And while that was a significant push right at the end, it was on the backs of dozens and hundreds of other people over the last many, many years who gave little or gave a lot, But everyone who contributed to that, it meant something. And we want to thank you from the bottom of our heart, because it's been a long time, decades, since this church has not had a mortgage payment or it has been in debt in some way. And we are free from that, free from it, to the glory of God. I want to invite up a few folks, because we're going to celebrate this in a special way. I want to invite up our ministry leadership team, Pastor Todd, our executive pastor, Pastor Matthew, student pastor, adult education, Pastor Christy Pulig, who's the director of our children's ministry. Invite them up. I want to invite up Bradley Olick as representative of our deacons, as the chairman of our deacon board. Invite up Lanny Weaver, wherever you are, Lanny. You can come on up. Lanny really represents so many over these past years who have served faithfully in helping be a financial navigator throughout many years. And Lanny has been at the helm of that since the very beginning. I invite up Kevin Dombrowski as a representative of our finance committee, not just this year, but in past years. And then I also want to invite up Pastor Bo Matthews to come up. And Bo really represents in so many ways. Thank you all. Bo and Lanny and a handful of others up here represent those who had a vision and were willing to take a risk to be able to build a facility that was going to be able to make room for more people to hear the gospel, to minister to more children and families, and to be a beacon, a lighthouse for the gospel for decades and years to come. They took that risk, and we're thankful for it. And I want to thank all of you who contributed to that. So thank you all that are up here. We're going to do something a little special. We're going to burn the mortgage. Yeah, we're going to burn the mortgage. Thank you, Todd. This says mortgage. This isn't a real mortgage, just so you know. But don't worry. It represents the mortgage. It's close enough. And some of you are really nervous right now in this moment. I practice this. Okay, so the fire alarm's not going to go off. Some of our staff, I won't say who, were particularly nervous about this moment. But we're going to burn this mortgage now, and we're burning it because we believe that what God has done, kind of symbolically, this burning represents. God has burned away. He's wiped away the debt. He's freed us from this, the chains of this debt. And as he eliminates this debt, as he eliminated our debt, it's a testimony. It stands as a testimony of what God is going to continue to do. Ooh, I like how that burns. That is nice. You like that? All right. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. You can remain standing for a moment since you're already up. I want to ask Pastor Bo to pray and just thank the Lord for his goodness and what he's done among us. Pastor Bo.
Aren't we blessed to be here today?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Nate. Let's pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Holy Father, full of wisdom and mercy, you know our necessities before we ask and our blindness in asking. And you have compassion on our weakness. And you give us good things which for our unworthiness we dare not, and for our ignorance we cannot ask. And Lord, you have granted to this congregation the unexpected and swift blessing of having no more debt. And when we heard it, Lord, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouth was full of laughter and our tongue with songs of praise. And now here together, in one spirit, one purpose, we want to say together to you, our Lord, thank you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen.
You know, have a seat. You guys can go ahead and have a seat as well. We're not done. Joshua wasn't done. The people of God weren't done, and Joshua didn't end. The book of Joshua didn't end in chapter 4, did it? Why? Because the mission wasn't accomplished. They had not finished the calling that God had given them. If they would have just sat down and say, hey, look at this awesome thing. He parted the river for us. This is amazing. Let's just sit here and, you know, sing Kumbaya. And, you know, this is good enough. They would have missed out on the calling of God. No, they were called to go into the promised land, to take the promised land based on the vision that God had given them. And everything in their past was leading up to that moment. And friends, the same thing is true for us. I think everything in our past has led us to where we are, where we can expect great things for God when we attempt great things for God. And so we want to talk a little bit about what we believe God's calling us to in our future. The next 3 to 5 years, this is something we've been praying about. Our leadership team has been praying about and planning towards for many years. And now we believe that is a turning point for us to be able to move in this direction. And you'll notice that this rock pile looks a little different than these two rocks. And that's very purposeful because we believe going forward to accomplish this mission, to do the things that we believe God is calling us to do, it's going to mean that we're all in. That we're all in. Everybody that calls this place their church home has a role to play. And that is why each of you got a rock when you came in. You got this rock because every individual matters to God and matters to us. Great or small, no matter how much or how little you think you have to contribute, whether it's financial or your time or your talents or your abilities, whatever it might be, God is calling you to take your piece and to put it on to the memorial pile, to say, I'm in, I want to be involved. We strive for what we call 100% spiritual employment. That's just a way of saying everybody matters. Everybody matters. And so I want you to be praying about, thinking about, maybe something you hear today that we're going to talk about resonates with you, and maybe that's something that God might be calling you to get in the game, get involved in that ministry. The first area that I really want to call us to as we go forward is in resilient disciple making. We're calling disciples making disciples. Over the next 3 years, our ministry team is going to be praying about, thinking, and planning towards answering, trying to answer this question. And the question is this: what does it look like to make resilient disciples in the increasing post-Christian world in which we live in? What does it look like to make resilient disciples of all ages and stages in the increasingly post-Christian culture in which we live in today? We need to be able to answer that question. We need to be able to know, how are we training you? How are we developing you? How are we deepening people's faith so that when they go to school and they hear things that are outside or anti-scripture, anti what God has said, when they're challenged on their faith, about their faith, they're challenged about the existence of God or issues of morality or whatever it might be, that you are equipped. You're equipped. Your children are equipped. Teens are equipped. They know the answers. They've wrestled through them. They've had it modeled by other people around them. They've been trained. They have a personal relationship with the Lord so that their faith can be resilient and lifelong. We believe this is something that God's calling us to. We want to build out what it looks like to become resilient disciples who make disciples and then infuse that in all of our ministries, our small groups, our adult education, our children, our student ministry, our curriculums, our training and our workshops that we provide, as well as the ministries and the activities that we provide. This is maybe the most important thing that we can do over the next 5 years, is to train us to become disciples who make resilient disciples. And the generations following many of you here are on the line. Do you know that? Generations on the line. And this leads us right into the next one, which is reaching the next generations. doubling down on reaching the next generations. We don't want to be like Judges chapter 2, verse 10. You know what that says? It's a sobering, sad text. It says that a generation died off, and the generation who came behind them did not know the God of their parents, did not know the works and the deeds that they had done. Is that not sad? An entire missed out generation. A generation who did not train their children and their grandchildren and their neighbors and their community to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love their neighbor as theirself. What a tragedy. We dare not to do that. We better be about training up and preparing the next generation. Millennials and Gen Z and those that are younger, preparing them to be leaders and disciple makers in their time. You know, statistically, since 2000, just in 20 years, the number of 20 and 30-somethings at church has dropped almost in half. Do you think Brandywine has a responsibility to do something about that? Do you think we have a responsibility to do something about that? Do you think the generations of 40, 50, 60-year-olds and beyond have something to do with that? We have a responsibility, the mantles on our shoulders in our time, to do something about that, to make sure that the generations can follow Christ and are trained to do that. You know, I'm an elder millennial. I'm technically a millennial. I'm on the older side of the millennial scale. Can I tell you something about my generation of millennials and younger? They're not looking to get you out of the way if you're older than that. No, they want you involved in their life as a mentor, as a guide. Every statistic, every study that's been done says they want you as a guide in their life. They want you to invest in them. They want to know that you care about them. They want to help you to help answer some questions for them and help shape their lives. They might not do things the way you do it or say things the way you say it, but they want to learn from you. They want you engaged in their life. We have an opportunity to do that. If you have some grayer hairs forming or some lines forming in your skin, if you are a seasoned vet, you have a role to play in that. That's what a generation is looking for. They're looking for real leadership opportunities. They want to be able to serve and make a difference in their day. They're not looking just for people to talk at them on Sundays and tell them what to do. They're looking for action. How are you living that out in the community? How are you serving the marginalized? How are you loving other people? How are you making a difference in your community? That's what they're looking for, they're longing for. They want to be a part of a worship service that resonates with them, that they can connect to. They want to sing, they might not be singing the same songs in the same way as their parents or their grandparents. But they connect in a different way through music. And we need to be paying attention to that as a church. They welcome the hard questions. They want to talk about thorny, difficult questions. They want to know the why we believe what we believe. They don't want you to try to avoid those questions. They want to wrestle with them in a real way. We need to be prepared to do that. They want to be part of a church that expects young people to be there. They want to walk in these doors and look around at the church and the people and who's serving, the way we're worshiping, and say, wow, you expected me to be here. I love that. You were waiting for me to come because you built this place from the parking lot to the pew in a way with me in mind. I feel loved. That's called practicing hospitality. And we need to do that. And so we're going to be asking those questions over the next 3 to 5 years. Not just in how we disciple and what we do, but even how we design our spaces. How do we worship? What does our lobby look like? What kind of rooms do we need? What kind of decor needs to change? So that the generations, next generations of millennials and Gen Zs look in and say, you expected me to come. I feel loved here. I feel at home. To that end, we're starting what's called a campus improvement fund. And this will be a special designated fund that you can give to. It'll also be overage and additional monies that are given here above and beyond our normal budget. We can designate a portion of that into the campus improvement fund to go to do some of the design things that we believe we need to do in order to be more prepared to reach the generations and to be, you know, paying attention to the culture around us. I'll give you just an example of a few of the projects that we're thinking through. One of those is to create a ministry space, a children's space, that is super welcoming, awesome place for kids to be ministered to and to be, that's all in one space, one place. Maybe if you have kids, you have gone through the experience here of dropping your children off, and you have to drop them off at like four different places if you have different kids in different age groups. And by the time, you know, you get halfway through the building, you're lost and you're not quite sure where you are and how to get back to where you're supposed to be. That's not particularly welcoming. What we want to do is have one safe, easy, obvious, awesome place where kids can learn more about Christ and parents can know exactly where to drop them off. And so that's one of the design things we're thinking through. Another one is redesigning our Connection Cafe. It's this room that used to be, way back in the day, a library. Some of you might know that. And we are going to be looking to redesign that to make an awesome place, a hangout place, a place where we naturally congregate over coffee or tea, hang out, do Bible studies together, welcome new people into our church. So that's one of those projects we're looking to do. A lighting project that we want to do here in the sanctuary. We have plans for some exterior design projects. Upgrading our signage out front, so that we don't look like we're phoning it in, but we actually care about our building and what it looks like. And so having something that's appealing and welcoming. Also thinking about refacing the building as it faces 202 here. I've had people say in the past, if this offends anyone who was part of this, I apologize. I've had people say, oh, what church is that? It's like, oh, it's a church next to the Y. Oh, yeah, that ugly church. Oh, hopefully you don't think it's ugly, but some people don't really like the facade up there. And so we've thought about, as part of our natural upgrades and the attrition that happens, the paint and other things stucco over the years, what would it look like to really do our best to what that looks like to make our church a little bit more beautiful in the community, which I think would bless our neighbors. So those are just a few of many projects that we're thinking through that the Campus Improvement Fund, instead of going in debt to do those projects, we would build funds to be able to then spend them on improving our campus, improving this church. Now, the last one I want to talk about is one that's near and dear to my heart, which is we believe that God is calling us over the next 3 to 5 years to aggressively go after our community with the gospel message of Christ and doing what we're calling church mobilization. Making sure that we as a church don't just gather, but we scatter. And when we leave this place, we're equipped to be able to know how to share the gospel, to articulate it, to defend it, and be able to know how we're serving our community in real, practical, tangible ways. We don't want to just have, you know, a handful of people occasionally going and serving in a soup kitchen. That's nice. But we envision sending a couple of hundred or a few hundred of us over a weekend or a Sunday to serve in dozens and dozens of ministries all around the city for the name of Christ and to show the love of Christ. We can do so much more, and this is why God has positioned us where He is, blessed us with what He's blessed us to be a blessing to our neighbors. And to that end, we're looking to hire a full-time church mobilization pastor or director. We call this kind of colloquially the go director, because they're kind of owning that go portion here locally. Their job is to mobilize us. Their job will be to share stories of what God is doing in our community, to be the flag bearers, the champions of the ministry, to organize those events that are happening in and around our city, to develop the partnerships with One for Wilmington and other ministries. And so we look forward to what God is going to do. There's so much more that we could say about it, but I want you to be praying about what is your role? What is your role as we seek to introduce people to Jesus Christ? That's why we're here, and help them follow Him. I want to invite up two others because we're going to be, this is a little bit of vision and a little bit of business. And that business is actually ministry because you get to hear what God is doing and how God is reaching other people. And so just for a few minutes, we're going to have first Kevin Dombrowski. He's our chairman of our finance committee. He's going to come up and share a little update about where we're at financially and what went into the budget process. And then Brett Dorsch, who's overseas and is a member of our missions team, is going to reflect back on the past year of missions giving and how your money went to go serve our community. And so, Kevin, I want to invite you to come up. Thanks, Kevin.
Hello, where you are. My name is Kevin Dombrowski. I'm here representing the Finance Committee. I'm the chairman. And today what we're going to do is we're going to talk conceptually about the budget that we're recommending for fiscal year 2022. And many of you received in the mail or picked one up just outside of the sanctuary, a budget that went into really great detail in terms of all the line items that are making up this proposed budget. Today we're really going to talk thematically about what's proposed, how that's different from previous years, and so on. But before jumping into that budget, we'd like to talk about the status update of today. And really, many of you might know that our fiscal year is September 1st through August 31st. So we're coming up at the end of fiscal year 2021. And this is going to be the sixth year in a row where Brandywine Valley Baptist Church ends up in the black. So our giving outpaces that budget. And so right now, this is as of August 21st, you can see that the year-to-date giving is already about $200,000 above our budget. And so that's just an unbelievable testament to this church, all of your sacrificial giving. It makes my job very easy, and I want to thank you on behalf of the Finance Committee, because it's always easy to talk about finances when you have such a gracious church. So shifting gears in talking about fiscal year 2022 and what we're proposing. So you're going to see that, and you're really going to have to squint in because there is a slight budget increase. However, it's about a 1.56% increase from fiscal year 2021. And I mention that because many of you remember that from fiscal year 2020 to fiscal year 2021, there was no budget increase. It was flat. So really what we're talking about right now is a 1.56% overall budget increase over 3 years. So to say that's prudent or modest is an understatement. So the church obviously still remains very prudent in terms of some of those budgetary numbers. However, very slight increase, but some of those components that make up the budget are going to be very different. And so if we shift in and look at some of those components within the budget, you're going to see obviously that big gap right there for debt servicing. And previously, that was about 10% of the overall budget, or $247,000 every single year, going towards principal pay down and interest that just goes right to the bank. That has been pulled and moved into all of the other different sections within the church. So you're going to see a slight increase in each of these components, and you're going to see a big increase in that personnel, pastoral staff, and assistance section, and that's really to support the GO ministry and that GO director position that Pastor Nate just mentioned. And if you shift to the next slide, you're going to see what the percent breakouts are. And about half of all spending really goes to supporting what I mentioned, that pastoral staff and the assistants and a lot of services supporting that. And that's within line of what we see across the board is in other churches this size. And that's something that we're looking at from time to time. And that's actually going to become a bigger focus going forward for the Finance Committee. And so every single time I've been up here, and this is a little sad, but obviously it's happy. This is the last time I'm going to be talking about debt pay down because we no longer have debt. But suffice to say, I had to put one slide up here because it's so exciting. Just 2 years ago, I was talking about $3.7 million of remaining debt. To pay that down in less than 2 years is just an unbelievable miracle. So on behalf of the Finance Committee, I want to thank you again for all of your sacrificial giving, and I think we should clap one more time because this is unbelievable. So in addition to no debt, a very modest budget increase by and large, additionally, what we've worked on these last several years is creating different types of financial safeguards. And Pastor Nate mentioned that when there was excess giving these last several years, a lot of that money was earmarked for debt paydown. Obviously, we saw the result of that. But in addition, the church worked very hard to create a $400,000 operations reserve. That could be considered a rainy day fund, something that's not expected to be used. It is there. If something unforeseen happens, giving is impacted drastically, it gives the church the ability to maintain its operations on an ongoing basis. Additionally, you're going to see a facilities reserve. And this has actually been bolstered quite a bit too. And this is for one-off expenses that are related to deferred maintenance, things breaking. A lot of this church is only 10 years, 11 years old, but some of it's 50 years old. And so there's a lot of expenses that come with that. You don't necessarily want to add that to the budget. You want to have a different reserve there to pay that down. And so, for example, a boiler recently broke, and you have those excess reserves there to pay that down. In addition to that, another financial safeguard is we see this budget, and you see all those different budgetary items, but they're not set in stone. Each of these, there is some, or for many of them, there are some sort of areas of flexibility, so the church can always tighten the belt. If something impacts the economy, which would impact giving or whatever it might be, there's always the ability to tighten the belt. So in summary, we are looking at a 1.56% increase after a flat increase. So a 1.56% budgetary increase over 3 years, and we have to compare that to what we're reading in the news of a 5% inflation rate. So it's a very modest increase. Two, building debt has been paid. It's zero. That frees up a ton of resources to further the church's missions. And then finally, the church has built many safeguards in place to ensure the financial stability on an ongoing basis. So again, thank you very much, and we'll look forward to your questions later.
Audible, Brett, if you could just stay right where you are. I'm going to call an audible. Based on the time and based on the fact that we want to try to get our next meeting started, to be able to vote, and there's going to be a group of people coming back into the service to be able to do that, we're going to postpone Brett's update. Let's make sure, Brett, we schedule an update on a Sunday, probably next Sunday, because we want you to hear what God is doing in our church. We'll make sure we reschedule that, but for the sake of time, we're going to pause that there. I want to ask you to stand. Would you stand with me? As we prepare to close, there's a couple things I want you to know. First of all, we want to invite every member and every attendee to stay for this brief meeting. It's not a long meeting. We've intentionally put a lot of the discussion here, as well a lot of the things that you need to know in this meeting, as well as in our town halls that we've had up to this point. We'll have a brief time of discussion, and then we're going to do a simple vote on the budget. And everyone will get one of those, whether a member or an attendee. You'll get the opportunity to vote. Only members will have their votes counted toward the budget, but we want to know where you are. We want to hear from you. We want to invite you to stay and be a part of that. Don't worry about your kids. They are being taken care of in our children's ministry. They're going to go into overtime. And so after the vote, don't go down in between the services and pick them up. If you're not staying, you can certainly go down and pick them up. But everybody else, just stay right here. And then after the service, you can go down and pick up your children. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to go ahead and get that started, okay? Father, we thank you again for what it is that you're doing here, doing among us. Lord, what you're doing overseas, what you're doing locally. Thank you for what you've done in the past and what you continue to do into our present, into our future. We trust you with it. Help us to give more and more of our lives to you, knowing that you're worth it. You're worth it. You're like the treasure, the pearl of great price, that it's willing to give up everything to have it. Lord, that's you. May we follow you with our lives to a greater and greater extent. Guide us. Give us wisdom as we move forward into uncharted territory. We recognize that the enemy would love to divide this church. The enemy would love to stop the work of the gospel that's going out. And so, Lord, we need your protection and your prayers. Lord, we give you this day. We pray that you would bless us and keep us and make your face to shine upon us, and that you might be gracious to us and give us your peace, knowing that you blessed us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.